This is Purple Radio on demand.
Hi, I'm Louis.
And I'm Sam.
And welcome back to another episode of Chalkboard Ultra, investigating some of the most interesting problems in all of mathematics.
It is time. It is time to have another guest on the podcast.
Yes, I was told by Sam that, hey, I've brought another Butler Jazz friend coming along. I couldn't believe it. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Tom. I do maths and I play the saxophone in Sam's jazz band.
I said before this to not do it how Chris did, which was say, oh, I played such and such in the jazz band. That's not what you're just all about. What you do maths, what else?
I spend quite a few days out in the hills, mainly in the Lake District, hiking. And I row in the college rowing club.
Oh, that must be good. Is there any relationship between movement with your hands on a saxophone and movement of your arms at a rowing club?
Nothing obvious.
Rowing club? Do you mean the oars?
Rowing's a full body sort of action. Right. Playing the sax is just fingers.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. If you could put your whole full body into it and just like really... Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's pretty much an active life, isn't it, Tom?
I think so, yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm good. And what are you going to be talking with us today about?
I'm going to be talking about how computers handle numbers, specifically time, and problems that can be caused by that.
Sounds great. Let's get on with the episode. So before we got to say, what is Y2K? I think we got to ask, why Y2K? Why are you here, Tom?
In my time in sixth form, I was given a task by my further maths teacher to do a research project in maths. It was very vague, and it was given to the whole class. We all did all sorts. Someone did a project on the aerodynamics of a cow.
How vague? Was it just come up with a project that you want to tell people about?
Yeah, literally. Do some research, and at the end of it, in a few weeks' time, do a presentation on something that can be linked to mathematics. The topic that I decided to do was, well, this. Problems in the ways computers handle numbers, specifically time.
Because I know that you're a fan of computer science anyway. I mean, yeah. Tom and I both took all of the programming and modeling modules last year, and you definitely enjoyed that a lot more than I did.
I think we should remind ourselves that computers don't use our way of numbers. We use base 10, of course.
Yes.
They use binary. What's binary, Tom?
So binary is base 2. It's a way of representing a number, any number that we can represent in base 10, but only using a series of ones and zeros. In our base 10 system, the units column, or the units digit, represents multiples of 1. The next digit represents multiples of 10. The next digit represents multiples of 100, and so on. In base 2, the first digit, again, represents multiples of 1. The next represents multiples of 2. The next represents multiples of 4. And that carries on, the number doubling each time.
And computers rely on that, which is why the storage always comes in, well, they are the powers of 2. You can buy phones now with 128 gigabytes of data, 256 gigabytes of data, 512. They're all powers of 2.
Yeah. In computer memory, there is usually a limit to the number of bits, binary digits, that can be used to represent a number. Computers either use 32-bit systems or 64-bit systems. Modern computers use 64-bit, but the other things that I have to talk about rely on 32-bit systems, so we'll focus on that for now.
So computers, time, I know if you have a computer, you probably can tell the time. What's the actual problem there, Tom?
It's not in time itself. It's the way computers store it, or mainly how they have stored it in the past. So you'll probably all be familiar with the Y2K bug that came around the turn of the 21st century. There was a big panic in the late 1990s where computers stored the date as day, month, and then just the last two digits of the year. So it would store, I don't know, the 1st of January 1999 as the 1st of Jan 99. The problem would arise when we moved to the year 2000. There are two things that could happen. The computer could either store the date as the 1st of January 00, looping back to the start, or the 1st of January 100. When displaying the date, computers would either add 1,900 to the date, or it would just add the digits 19 and then the stored year. If the computer went back to 00, the date that was displayed would then go back to 1900. Or if the computer went to the year 100 and just added the text 19 to the start of the date, it would show the year as 19,100.
Well, I know how we like to discuss time travel in chalkboard, but I never thought we'd do it like that.
No. So could it be said that when computers started storing time, it started as if we were in the year zero, and so we were just adding the number of years on and on and on, and then that's why 100 became a problem? Are you saying that we couldn't store the number 100?
If we wanted to, we could have. The reason that we didn't was that back in the time the computers just started, computer memory was a very valuable resource. Before the 1990s, computer memory was just measured in kilobytes. Obviously, nowadays, it's quite common for computers to have gigabytes worth of RAM. So only the last two digits were stored, just to cut down on the space required.
Where does memory come into it, then? You said that we were able to store merely kilobytes of data, and now we're at gigabytes. Well, why is that so prevalent?
Anything in the computer needs to be stored in its memory. And when you only have a very small amount of memory, you want to make the data that you store as efficient as possible. Back in 1970, maybe, they would have thought it's not necessary to store the 19 part of the year, so we just won't. And that makes storing the year a lot more efficient.
But now, obviously, because we have this data, that's why we can distinguish between the 1900s and the 2000s, and I suppose any other year in sequence.
Yeah, we just have more memory available now that it's no longer necessary to just forget about those first two digits.
So how did we get a state from we were concerned about this Y2K bug and then it fixed itself, or at least we got someone to fix it? What exactly happened?
It definitely didn't fix itself. There are two ways that it was fixed. The first, and probably the, I guess, purest way of fixing it, is storing the full year. So literally storing 99 as 1999. And then when you move into the 21st century, storing 00 as the year 2000. The other way of doing it was date windowing. So this would change the dates that we store from 1900 to 1999 to 1920 to 2019. So if the date that the computer looked at was in the year, I don't know, 15, then it would recognize that that would be past the turn of the century and would recognize that it's 2015. If it was 75, then it would recognize that's before. It would display it as 1975.
In essence, we were just shifting our frame of reference.
Yeah, that has quite a clear problem. Can you guess what it is?
Bank details.
I didn't do computer science. I did it.
This is just the date windowing. When you're just changing the window of time you're looking at, you're just pushing that back 20 years. So if you've got the problem now, you're just going to have the same problem 20 years in the future.
So it's not that efficient in terms of how often you want to keep doing it. I imagine you don't want to keep shifting this window.
Yeah.
Could you not shift it 100 years and leave it for the next generation to do?
If you were to shift it 100 years, if you had to look at a date that was maybe 5 years into the past, you would be looking at 1995, which the computer would recognize as 2095.
And that obviously hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. You've only got a window of 100 years that you can work for with this way of fixing it. So all you can do is push the problem further into the future.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that bad.
The computers that were fixed this way, the idea was that they would just get naturally replaced within the next 20 years. As like computer technology is advancing, things would just naturally be replaced. And that was expected. But there were a few that weren't.
Oh, so you're saying that the problems persisted past the year 2000?
Oh, yeah. The Y2K bug still could come back after the year 2000, and it did in 2020. In New York City, there are a few parking ticket machines that have been fixed this way, and on the 1st of January 2020, they just would not accept car payments. Because as far as they were concerned, the year was 1920 and cars didn't exist.
What deemed this, I don't know, cataclysmic end of the world? Y2K, a lot of people thought the world was just going to end. Why did that suspicion arise?
Yeah, so this sort of thing could come up with any system that requires the year to store time. So, for example, in nuclear power plants, they measure an amount of radiation or reactivity that's emitted by the reactors in a specific time period. And if that time period is messed up by this Y2K bug, they would measure the wrong reactivity. So they were put in measures or not put in measures that could eventually lead to a meltdown. And if this happens all over the planet, this could lead to all of the nuclear reactors on the planet melting down.
And that would not be good.
It would not be good at all.
When we rolled over into a new millennia, we changed from 99 to 00, and the world kind of melted down because we couldn't decide, well, should we do it as 00? Should we do it as 100? If this computer starts counting and then it gets to 2 to 31 minus 1, you'll just have you'll have 32 bits of just ones. What happens when it tries to count one more?
The computer would do what computers do best. It would
crash.
And in fact, this happened at an air traffic control center in Los Angeles. On the 14th September 2004, the control tower lost all radio contact with the aircraft in its area. There was 3 hours where radio contact was down, and in that time, fortunately, nothing disastrous happened. All that really happened was 10 aircraft flew closer than current regulations allow. 400 flights had to be delayed and 6 were cancelled. This all happened because the computer stored its time in milliseconds, which would run out in, 2 to the power of 32 milliseconds, which is roughly 49 days.
So they set up this system. 49 days later, something catastrophic happened.
The idea is that that doesn't happen. There's a routine maintenance schedule that works on these computers, and essentially, it's turn it off and on again every 30 days.
I do recall reading something about Y2K, that the whole thing was make sure you turn your computer off before midnight until the turnover of the millennium. So essentially, that's what they tried to do. Off and then on again.
Yeah.
So computers do what they do best, crash, and humans do what we do best and turn them off and turn them back on again.
That is literally it.
So that's a sign of messing with computers and how they keep time might not be the best thing to do for the safety of people.
Yeah, I'm happy with my analog watch right now.
But is there any other issues that might come up in the future in regards to timekeeping? Because you hinted at 64. What happens with 64 bits?
Well, modern systems using 64-bit numbers, they won't run out for around 300 billion years.
I feel better. Yeah.
You can sleep well at night now.
For reference, the universe is around 13.7 billion years old. I think we're safe. But using these 32-bit systems, that will probably come up again. At 3:14 in the morning, anyone will recognise that as pi o'clock, on the 19th of January 2038, as far as any 32-bit system is concerned, time will end. And this is all to do with ways that the computers now store time.
Is that going to be a Tuesday?
I don't know.
19.01.2038.
It's a Tuesday.
How did you work that out, Sam?
More details on that at a later time.
And this is all to do with how some computers store time. This way of storing them is called UNIX, which is counting the number of seconds that have passed since midnight of the 1st of January 1970.
Now, I've heard of that. I've heard that, for some reason, that's sort of the default time for reset of a computer, the 1st of January 1970.
Yeah.
So life began on the 1st of January 1970 and ends on the 19th of January 2038. Why must a computer be 68 years old?
That is because the time is stored using a 32-bit signed integer. There's a reason I talked about this. The highest number of a 32-bit signed integer is 2 to the power of 31 minus 1, and that many seconds is around 68 years. When we get to pi o'clock on the 19th of January 2038, that will loop back round to minus 2 to the power of 31 seconds, which takes us back to the start of the 20th century.
Ah, which is 1970 minus the roughly 68 years.
Yep.
Wow.
How was that for time travel?
And what is being done about that?
Most modern computers are now 64-bit. These will run out of seconds in about 300 billion years, so they're fine. There are some systems that can't be replaced, though. So embedded systems, they're designed to last the same as the lifespan of the product. So, for example, time chips in washing machines, they probably won't be replaced or may not be replaced over the year 2038.
Unless, of course, you use 64-bit Calgon. But...
So they might still exist around then. However, they're unlikely to be affected. They don't really worry about the year.
I'm sure it'll be a nightmare for students like me who like to put their washing on overnight. And, you know, at pi o'clock on the 19th of January, some students will be waiting for their washing to be lovely and clean and dry. And it's just devastating. That's probably the worst thing that could happen, right? Nothing else catastrophic.
Well, here's the thing. They usually don't really worry about the exact time. They only worry about differences in time. So it will still recognize that the correct amount of seconds has passed, even if the time that it's stored is back in the 20th century. Essentially, as long as it's turned off over this time, then it should be all right.
Okay. But the problem is that there will be some systems who continue to use the 32-bit system that are more important than washing machines.
Yeah, exactly. You'll have some, I don't know, old cars where the chips in their anti-lock brake system might have been designed with a 32-bit system. And if they're driving at this time in the morning of the 19th of Jan, they will still be turned on at this period, so they could have some kind of accident.
I think it's a nice coincidence that it's going to happen in earliest hours of the morning, because people are likely not to be driving then, unless you're doing something.
But surely, what time zone is the switchover?
This will be Greenwich Mean Time.
Ah.
Yes, so what might be early morning for us probably isn't early morning for other people.
Yes.
Are there any other examples of machines being broken down by this overflow of numbers and just the way the binary works?
Yeah, this doesn't only come up in storage of time. The thing that's going on here is integer overflow. You increase the number too much, it overflows into a different part of the computer's memory. So, for example, anyone who's into their arcade games and has the time and, I suppose, money to spend will know that level 256 of Pac-Man is unbeatable.
Hang on, 256? I think I recognise that. Isn't that 2 to the power of something?
Yeah, it is a power of 2.
Mm. It is indeed. 256 is 2 to the power of 8, which is one more than the highest number that can be stored on an 8-bit binary number. Going back to what we were saying earlier, with computer memory being a really valuable resource, when these arcade games were being designed, there were only 3 numbers that were actually permanently stored on the computer. That was the level number, the number of lives the player has, and the player's score. When the player is on level 255, that is stored as 8 ones. When they go to level 256, that becomes a 1 followed by 8 zeros. Where this 1 is, it eats into the code for rendering the Pac-Man level.
Ah, so no more level then.
I have a picture of it here. Maybe you can do a job of describing this.
Listen in, listeners, as you do. What we have is a lovely game of Pac-Man where the right-hand side is just completely demolished with lots of letters all over the place. But at least the left-hand side of Pac-Man is A-OK. So I think you can play that. What would you play with the right-hand side of this broken Pac-Man, Tom?
I don't think you can. Essentially, what happens here is the computer is just trying to spawn in, well, it's drawing fruit in the bottom corner of the screen, and it's trying to draw 256 of them, which it shouldn't. It should only be drawing a maximum of 8.
In more recent times, I saw this on Twitter a while back, it happened with train line and the number of stops. There's something in the way that a train is made in that it's got a certain number of axles and you have to count that. If a train has more than 256 axles, it won't be able to count that because it's all stored in an 8-bit system. And so trains in Switzerland, I think, were almost colliding because they didn't know that this train just disappeared off the maps. It went past the sensor. The sensor tried to count 256 axles, meaning that it actually had 0 axles if you do your binary maths. And the train just ended up disappearing from the maps and people had no idea where it was. But there was what I was going to say was another thing on train line is that someone was making a stop from Newton Abbot to Reading, and they supposedly had -9 quintillion stops, which you might recognize as roughly 2^63. So powers of two, binary overloading, it's everywhere. You just got to be careful.
So Tom, if you were in charge of the world and you could legislate just one instruction to everyone to follow, would it be to adopt 64 bits for everything?
I think that's sensible. Yeah.
I mean, I adopt for world peace, but like you do you guys.
So after this research that you did, Tom, what do you think this experience gave you?
I think mainly it gave me, well, research skills. Because before then, I hadn't done any, I think, independent research. And this was the first time I'd looked in books, I'd looked in, well, I'd looked in archives of the BBC homepage. At about 10 in the morning of the 1st of January in the year 2000, the BBC published an article, "The Y2K Bug Fails to Bite."
Oh, I like that.
Which just shows the effort that technicians at the time put in to overcome the problems. It also told me that I do have the skills to present, because at the end of it, we all had to do a presentation of what we'd found. I made a PowerPoint presentation and I spoke over it. I recorded it into a video. And I think it went pretty well.
All in all, it's not really that bad. I think what we've learned is that if there's something going wrong with your computer, whether it's telling the wrong time or you get some kind of binary overflow, it's just a turn it off, turn it on again job.
Yeah, that pretty much fixes everything as far as I can tell.
Well, it's always good to end on a note of agreement. With that, yes, let us end. Thank you, Tom, for a very enlightening discussion of the Y2K bug.
Thank you for having me.
And Pac-Man. I didn't expect that.
No, me neither. I've played Pac-Man, but I've never been good to reach level 255. I think I've managed to get to level 3. I'm not the best.
I don't think I've even completed level 1.
And thank you as well to the listeners at home. We hope you found this discussion as enlightening as we did.
Join us next week as we delve deeper into the wonders of mathematics. Please follow Chalkboard Ultra on Instagram and our new Twitter page at Chalkboard Ultra, where you can get even more updates when I, you know, have late night thoughts and I just need to put them somewhere. They're going on the Twitter.
And as always, keep safe and keep well.
When did we get a Twitter account, Sam?
I made it yesterday. I was in the maths building and I was just like, oh, I really wish that we could do more stuff for the Instagram. People who've been following the Instagram for a while know that throughout series one, whenever a new episode came out, we just posted a screen with some clip arts on it. And I wanted some variation, which is why the page looks like it does now. But I needed to go wider because I think I want to post things. And all good communication comes from Twitter. Not so much with the younger generation, actually. I don't know many people who actively use Twitter, but for those that are, you know, older than an undergrad, will probably use it. I think we just missed the mark.
I'm so sorry, listeners.
Waka waka waka.
Waka 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 waka. Wow. Did you know they have names?
What are the names, Sam?
Do you know the names?
I knew they had names. I can't remember them.
They all have names. You can test me on this. Search them up. They have names and they have special moves. The red one is Blinky and it aims to follow you. Then you've got the blue one, Inky, and the pink one, Pinky, and they try to go in front of Pac-Man. And then the orange one is Clyde and it moves around randomly. So Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde. You ever thought about the fact that Pac-Man has periodic boundary conditions?
Oh, yeah.
Because you go in one side and he just comes back over the other.
It's as if you're playing on an ellipse. Not an ellipse. Taurus.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Do you think, have there ever been any games made where it's like you're playing on a Möbius strip?
What would that look like?
Whereas you go off one end and you come back the other, but you're flipped. Is that right? Yeah, down becomes up and up becomes down.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't be able to cross top and bottom. If you wanted to cross top and bottom as well, that would be like taking a Mobius loop and extending it and connecting the edges. One way you do that is just a regular 3D manifold, great. But if you twist it again...
It forms a climb bottle.
Forms a climb bottle. I would love to play a game that's on a climb bottle. There's got to be a... There must be a climb bottle Pac-Man out there. Someone's got to have made it.
Tom, have you made it yet?
I've not made it.
I'm sure if they did make it, they'll use better than an 8-bit system.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.